Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing like Bo did over the weekend because he is in Philadelphia, Falcons and Eagles on deck for Monday Night Football this evening. I know Mike will be holding down the fort here.
Yeah, I definitely will. We'll do 2 hours pregame. Me and Chris go for it. 2 hours postgame as well. Whenever the game wraps up, I'm thinking sometime around 11:30 or midnight. So we'll take you into the wee hours doing all the postgame stuff, and then obviously we'll be back here tomorrow to talk about it here on the morning shift, man. So we've got you covered. Floor to ceiling, Tiff.
Floor to ceiling, Bo. Speaking of floor to ceiling, in your room, did things warm up for you?
Yeah, I got the temp up. It was like 66 degrees when I woke up. I had all kinds of sensory overloads with my allergies due to how cold it was. But yeah, we got a nice 71 here. The sun has come up in Philly. I can look at a rooftop and buildings. But
optimistic. So that means you're optimistic about this matchup tonight.
I actually am. I have. You know what has restored my faith in being the optimism
please,
part of it
let
is.
Let me know, because I'm struggling.
Well, look around the NFL, Michael. This is a league that is extremely close, and no matter how terrified we get when Tiffany reads off Saquon Barkley's stats from last week, which were good, and the fact that Devonta Smith and Johan Dotson. And Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts are going to be on that field. And Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean and Darius Slay and Quinyon Mitchell, who doesn't stop talking, by the way.
You better name an offensive lineman if you're going to go all the way down the roster, please.
Landon Dickerson, Lane Johnson. There's your name. There's a guy who might be on a Hall of Fame trajectory one day, or already is and could be going there one day. But when we got some guys too, okay? We got some guys too, and these games, the Ravens had a 10-point lead at home, Michael P., Tiffany Big Time Blackman, and guess what they did? They blew it, okay? That was one of the best teams in the league and a Super Bowl contender, and a lot of people on their power rankings teams had ranked number one going into this season. So why shouldn't I be optimistic about what I think is a damn fine team that I flew on a plane with up here to Philadelphia yesterday afternoon?
Here's where I'm kind of sitting right now. You have more optimism than me about this team. But I will say this. I'm not even worried about whether or not the Falcons win or lose tonight. I want to see functionality out of this offense. Bottom line. Like if Atlanta goes up there and gets beat by a slim margin by a good Philadelphia team on the road, I'm not hitting the panic button. Right? If this game ends up 27-24 and Kirk Cousins looks mobile and we run some play action and use different formations to our advantage, maybe even some imaginative motions in the backfield, I'll feel a lot better about this season. All right. As things stand, though, and the bad taste I had in my mouth after last week, that's what I'm having trouble getting rid of. So I want to see a functional offense tonight, more so than I even want to see a victory, because I think the trajectory of the season lends itself to, hey, we're going to have to score points eventually if we are going to win anything.
So by functional, you mean more creativity in the offense? Is that what you're getting at?
Creativity on top of just not being so bland, so vanilla, so to where everybody in the building knows exactly what you're going to do. And I think we just have to keep defenders honest, man. We can talk and build up TJ Watt all we want to, but there's a lot of parts and a lot of components that are just as, much to blame as Caleb McGarry is. And so if you're going to run 90% of the time that you're in pistol and you're going to throw, 95% of the time you're in shotgun and you're not going to go under center and you're not going to run any play action, you're not going to run a draw, then I'm going to be hitting the panic button a lot more than if we just start to show what we're capable of and we come up short. I think that's the biggest thing for me, is just show what you're capable of and show what Zach Robinson can do.
Yeah, I think you know, that's a good point. I was telling you guys earlier, I was watching Peyton Manning and Bill Belichick on Saturday morning on ESPN, and they were breaking down this game, and they were talking about things that went wrong last week for the Falcons. And one of the things that they brought up, and Belichick went into it, was, hey, look what they did. They showed a lot of five-man fronts against this offensive line last week, and the Falcons didn't handle it well. And hopefully Zach Robinson and Dwayne Ledford have sat with these guys and said, look, if you see this, this is what happens, because you're right. We can build up T.J. Watt, and we can talk about how good he is, but there's more than just a T.J. Watt on that defense that gave him trouble. Cam Hayward was in the backfield. He wasn't the only one. There were guys all over there. So that's one thing. I think, you know, putting in some plays, Mike, I don't know how you feel about it. Get guys open quickly. Some quick developing routes where Kirk can get the ball out of his hands, getting a rhythm, okay? And we never really got a rhythm. I think that opening drive, we had a rhythm last week. But other than that, I didn't see a real rhythm. I thought he did a good job at times when he was flush from the pocket, and that's when I was trying to point to people, you guys tell me he's not healthy when he was flush from the pocket, like the touchdown throw to Pitts. That was something he showed he was all right. So maybe build in where it's not a flush thing, but maybe build in some stuff where he's moving the pocket automatically.
No A.J. Brown in this one. He's out. I believe it was a hamstring injury that he's dealing with. But what does that do now for the Falcons' defense?
I think that just allows them to hone in a little bit more on what Saquon Barkley is. And I'll be really interested to see what Jalen Hurts does tonight with his legs. We talked to Mike Quick a week ago. He just hasn't been the same Jalen Hurts that he was when he broke into this league as far as being able to run the ball. Not really sure if it's the injury he sustained last year or just a simple fact that, you know, he's been in the league for a few years and just doesn't want to be as mobile. I don't know what it is. But maybe you can commit just a half step early if you're a Justin Simmons or somebody else inside of this defense to come downhill, you know, without A.J. Brown being a part of this. But they do have still some dynamic weapons on the outside, so I don't want to take anything away from those guys. I'll be very curious to see what the game plan is, though, and how many guys you're committing to the box and which guys those are. Because, look, I mean, you look on just the flip side, and if you are play action passing to a Saquon Barkley or a zone read action to a Saquon Barkley in the backfield, and you are stressing the layers of this Falcons defense, that makes it more difficult, you know, on the flip side. So that's one of the reasons I want to see. I want to see freaking Kirk fake a handoff and stress the levels of this Philadelphia defense so that you can bring those linebackers up just a little bit and maybe hit them over the top. It just it has to happen both on defense and on offense tonight that you don't kind of get lost in the game plan.
Yeah, I think it just basically, you know, not having A.J. Brown, I think he's a guy that opens things up for the other guys. But I think there is some truth to the fact that, to me, limit Saquon Barkley, limit this team on first down. I want to see Jalen Hurts in some second and third and longs, so you change up what they got to do and you force him to stand. And I know he can do it. There's no doubt he can do it, but he hasn't looked comfortable doing it in the last 18 games or so. So make him have to beat you in the pocket throwing the football. And I still, you know what we haven't seen all year? We have not seen an opposing quarterback. Like, now we're only one game in. But we haven't seen an opposing quarterback throw into the middle of our defense the entire season with Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons. And with a guy who has been an interception machine as of late as far as throwing them, I got two ball-hawking safeties in there. Maybe this is a chance for Justin Simmons to say, hey, Atlanta, here I am, and make a big play and help, you know, set something up for the offense, because I'm going to need the defense to give me a couple of turnovers, because our offense needs an opportunity to get a short field and kind of put together a score and maybe feel themselves a little bit.
All right. Well, you get to feel yourself a little bit. That sounded like a weird transition there. But we have a Life of Squid coming up. So what you got for us up there in Philly?
Oh, I won't be filling myself in my hotel room during this next segment. But I will be talking about Brian Callahan's extremely rough comments in a post-game presser. And Tom Brady, well, he might be getting the hang of this analyst thing yet. Coming up next on the morning shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
That's right.